You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So this morning, as we come around Family Sunday, I wanted to speak on leading well for your family. This is a part of a series we're doing on leadership. And what better way to start than learning about how to lead yourself and your family? You know, when we hear the word leading, different sort of interpretations come to mind. For some people, it's sort of like, oh, it's about power, authority. I'm a leader, I'm being the boss. For some people, it's about leading by example, leading by serving other people. For others, and this is sometimes me, being a leader sounds like a lot of responsibility, something I could quite very well do without. But depending on what you think leadership is, it can mean so many different things. Our society gives so many definitions. There's so many leadership quotes. Even as I was preparing, I was looking up different things, and there's a wide range of leadership quotes from so many different people. But whether we like it or not, all of us had to lead somewhere in our life. Whether we lead ourselves, whether we lead in a workplace, at school, at home, at a university, in a sporting club, wherever we may go, whatever we might do, in some way or another, we have to lead ourselves. So as followers of Jesus, how do we lead? What does God say about how we lead? How do we lead well? And how do we lead well for our families? I was reading this story about a mom, and it reminded me of how important this is, how we lead our families. A young mom invited some people she hadn't seen for a while over for dinner. And once she'd had dinner ready, all cooked, ready to go, they were sitting at the table, and she said to a little five-year-old, "Darling, would you like to say grace?" And the little girl was like, "Oh, I don't really know what to say." And she was like, "Just say what mummy says." And the little girl looked, and she was like, "Okay." And the little girl said, "Oh Lord, why'd I invite these people over for dinner?" It just illustrates the importance of how we lead our family and how they follow our example. So being Family Sunday, let's learn an example of someone who led well in the Bible. Now, for all the children out there, I've got a little origami bit of paper. Most of you have activity packs. Can anyone tell me, based on the activity packs, who we're speaking about this morning? Anyone who's got an activity pack? Nice and loud. Addy? Noah, that's right. So Noah, has anyone heard the story of Noah before? Any children? Is that something you've done in school? Yeah, you have. Jaira, I can see your hand at the back there. So Noah built something. Can anyone tell me what he built? He built an ark. All right, I've got my miniature version of an ark today. My little boat, it's not really quite an ark. Doesn't put it in perspective of how big it is. But Noah built an ark. All right, now Gateway Kids in elementary, you guys know we do this all the time. So when I read this story of Noah, whenever you hear the word ark, I want you to put your arms as wide as possible to illustrate how big the ark is. Yeah, good work, I can see you doing that. So listen for the word ark, all right? Use your listening ears to listen for the word ark. So the story of Noah is found in Genesis chapter 6 all the way to chapter 9. Noah lived in a time when there was a lot of wickedness in the world. And as a result, God told Noah that there was going to be a flood over the whole earth. Noah lived an upright life, but so God told him, "Do you know what? I promise you, I'm going to keep you and your family safe." Now, God gave Noah an instruction to build an ark. I can see some adults doing it too. Good work. Now, to give some perspective of how big the ark was, when we look in modern measurements, it was about the size of a small footy field today and about the height of a modern four-story house. So it's pretty big. So my boat doesn't really paint the right perspective for how big it was, but it gives you the idea. God gave him instructions to build the ark, but then he also told him to take the animals onto the ark. So his family, his sons and his wives, to take them on, to bring a pair of every living creature, all animals, all birds, every sort of living creature onto the boat. He also said to pack and store lots of food on the ark so he could feed the animals, he could feed himself and his family. Noah was 600 years old when he and his family entered the ark, along with all the animals and other living beings. 7 days later, the flood waters came on the earth. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. All the springs of the earth burst forth. The water rose above the highest mountain peaks, and the earth was flooded for 150 days. But God was faithful to his promise, and he remembered Noah and all who were with him. In Genesis 8, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered and thought kindly of Noah and every living thing and all the animals who were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the land, and the waters receded." Now, it took some time for the water to go down. Noah sent out a raven initially, and then a dove several times at different intervals to check if the water actually had gone down. The last time he sent the dove out, it actually didn't come back, and that indicated to Noah that there was dry land, that it was now safe for them to leave the ark. So this is finally when Noah was 601 years old. So remember I said 600, so this is nearly a year later. They were on that ark for over a year. The earth was dry, and they were able to leave the ark. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and God was pleased with Noah. God blessed Noah, and he established an everlasting promise with him. In Genesis 9:11, God says, "Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth." And God put a rainbow in the sky. And even today, we remember a rainbow as a sign of that promise, that God's promises to us are always there, and God sticks to his promises and his word. But I love that story of Noah. How powerful was that? That through his actions, through Noah's actions, that he led his family through a circumstance that could have otherwise had devastating results. The outcome of Noah not following the result of the instruction of God could have been so different to what we read in the Bible. But thank God that Noah was a man who led his family well. So what does that mean for us today? How did Noah lead his family well? How can we lead ourselves and our families well? So firstly, Noah heard and trusted God's word to him. When God was telling Noah about the flood and the ark he needed to build, he was telling Noah about things he'd never seen or heard about before. Hebrews 11:7 says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before." By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. See, building a giant boat, that was probably something that hadn't happened before. And if you think about it, it was him, his sons, and his family. There wasn't a lot of manual labor. There wasn't a lot of machinery. There wasn't all the things that we've got today in modern society. It's something that had probably been never done before. A complete flood had never happened before, as it says in Hebrews 11:7. So how was Noah able to trust God for these things that were completely unseen before, that had never happened before? I believe part of the answer can be found in Genesis 6, verse 9. It says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." In the Amplified, it says, "These are the records of the generations, family history of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and had right standing with God, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked, lived in habitual fellowship with God." I love that. Noah walked and lived in habitual fellowship with God. And you know, that word walked comes from the Hebrew word halak, which is actually the same word that was used in Genesis 3, when God walked in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. How powerful is that? That walking speaks of such a closeness, walking in fellowship. And I really wanted to illustrate that this morning. So I've got my trusty assistant, Addison, who's going to come up and help me with it this morning. So I live in Leopold down by the rail trail, and every now and again, I might go for a walk down the rail trail. If I was going for a walk down the rail trail, and I didn't know Addison, and Addison was walking along the rail trail, if I started coming and walking alongside him, imagine I'm a stranger, I wonder what his response would be. He doesn't know who I am. I try and make comments. Yep, that'd probably be it. He'd probably turn around. He might go home and call the police and say this random person's walking next to me on the rail trail. But what if the situation was changed? What if he was someone I knew that I could walk in fellowship with? When you walk with someone you know, There's a closeness to you. You walk side by side. You have conversation. Even when there's not conversation, there's a relationship there that's built. Thanks, Ads. Great work. Round of applause for Addy. And that's the picture that's painted of Noah walking in fellowship with God. That, you know, there was a closeness there. There was relationship there. There was conversation exchanged. I think that's powerful. I think it's so mighty when we can have that conversation with God. And the exciting thing is that He desires to have that with each one of us. It's not for the select few. It's not for certain people who can hear from God or walk in fellowship with God. But He desires that for each one of us. And that blows my mind that the God of the universe who created everything, that He wants to know you well. He wants to walk in fellowship with you. He wants to walk closely with you. In John 14:26, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you." In the Amplified, it speaks of the Advocate as the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. Holy Spirit is that for us today. That He is the one who walks alongside us. He is our strength. He is our intercessor. He is our comforter. And we can walk in habitual fellowship with God. But what does that mean for us practically, for us and our families today? Well, you and I, we can believe for things that have never happened before in our own lives and in our family's life. What are you believing for in your life, in your family's life, that has never happened before? It might be the restoration of a broken relationship. It might be reconciliation, breakthrough in illness, breakthrough in finances, peace in a difficult situation, salvation of family members. Whatever it may look like, we all have things that we're believing for, things that we may not have seen yet, but we are trusting God for. And that trust is built from walking in habitual fellowship with Him, taking that time out to spend with Him, to hear from Him, to seek His direction, His counsel, His strength and guidance, His comfort and peace. Church, He desires to speak to each one of us. And you know, this is something that I personally really had to go in. I think for me, a lot of the time, spending time with God consisted of opening up the Bible app, doing my daily Bible plan, saying a quick prayer, and yep, tick that box, quiet time is done. But you know, I've really been learning the importance of waiting on the Lord. I'm a bit of a doer, so I like to be busy. So actually sitting down and spending time waiting to hear with God, having that conversation and listening for His voice is something I've had to grow in. But can I encourage you that as I've done that, it has changed my life, really learning to hear from God. It has transformed my relationship with God. It's no longer going to God as a source of all my answers in the terms of just going, God, can you give me this? God, can you give me that? God, I need this. God, this person needs this. But it's actually built my relationship with Him and encouraged me to grow in my relationship and the importance of it. So I'm so thankful for Him that He's so good in wanting to speak to us and making that time to speak with us. The God of the universe, He wants to speak to each one of us. So exciting. But you know, waiting on the Lord can look different for every person. For some people, it might be out in nature, by the beach, in the bush, going for a walk somewhere. For some of you, you might wait in the Lord and hear from Him while you're driving in the car, keeping your eyes open, of course. For some of you, you may have to go into the quiet of your room somewhere where it's calm and quiet, away from everyone else, so you can hear Him. Whatever it may look like for you, whatever you are trusting God for, church, let's go on this journey together of walking closely, more closely every day with God. Setting aside that time for Him, in spite of our busyness, in spite of whatever we might be going through, to grow in trusting Him for greater things. So firstly, Noah led well by hearing and trusting God's instructions. Secondly, Noah heard and followed God's instructions. We've got our new vision verse for the year that we heard last week, Isaiah 30:21 on the board. Your own ears will hear Him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or the left. This year as a church, we desire to hear and will be hearing God's instructions. Noah too heard about God's instructions. When he received the instructions to build the ark and about bringing the living things onto the ark, here's what Noah did in Genesis 6:22. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Similarly, once the ark was completed, God again gave Noah instructions, and this is what Noah did. Genesis 7:5. So Noah did everything as the Lord had commanded him. Notice it says here, Noah didn't say, "Oh God, I can do this part, but maybe not this part. Oh God, I hear your instruction, but it's a bit of a busy season for me right now, so maybe in a few months." It says that he did everything exactly as the Lord had commanded him. And like I mentioned at the start, the result of Noah hearing and following God's instructions is that his whole family was saved from the flood. It had huge impact, the following of the instructions, on his and his family's life. Church, hearing and following God's instructions are powerful. Hearing and following God's instructions brings about breakthrough, brings about restoration. Now, all of the kids in Gateway Kids, we've got a memory verse this term. I know a fair few people have already memorized it. Has anyone got it memorized yet? Can anyone tell me where it's taken from? Benj. Mine's gone blank. That's all good. Anyone else? Proverbs 4 verse 13. Can anyone tell me the first word? Hold. Is it on? I was like, is it on the screen? Yep. Very good. So Proverbs 4 verse 13. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Hold on to instruction. How important those instructions we hear from God. It brings life. It brings life, his word to us. We too, this morning, church, want to hear instructions from God. But again, like I mentioned before, it actually takes time to listen to those instructions, away from distractions, giving God our full attention. And as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of something that I think every parent or guardian, or anyone who works with children can relate to. Does anyone here have a child who has screen time? TV, Xbox, iPad, anything like that? We all do. We live in a modern society where we have screen time. Now, has anyone tried to give a child an instruction while they're having screen time? Doesn't go down so well, I don't think. Because you give them an instruction, they might go, And later you ask them, have you made your bed? Have you packed up the toys? We do it in Gateway Kids, time for cleanup. The ones on the screen time often find it difficult to remember about the cleanup because they're so focused on the game. But you take away what they were doing and get their full attention and say, hey, can you please go and tidy up your room? Hey, can you please pack up the toys now? And it's a different story. The instruction is clearly received and easily followed. And sometimes it's the same with us with God. I know I've done it before myself, where we want to hear from God, but I might be on my laptop doing something else. You know, I've got some worship music on, and I'm like setting that atmosphere, but then I'm doing something else, checking my emails at the same time. We don't give God our full attention, and so sometimes we don't hear the instruction clearly, and then we can't follow it well. So can I encourage you, church, that as we hear the instruction, that we take the time to go, God, here I am. Speak to me. Removing all distractions from around us, giving him our full attention so we can hear and follow the instruction well. But it didn't end with Noah hearing the instruction. When he received the instruction, he actually took action with it. See, hearing the instruction from God is amazing. Even though Noah didn't have all the details, he still took action with the instruction that was given. Hearing is amazing, but merely hearing the information, hearing the instruction without action just turns it into information. Following the instruction is actually what brings the outcome for what God has for us. In John 10:27, it says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. They know me. I know them. They listen to me. But then it says, they follow me. Follow me, that's a verb. That indicates action. That indicates something we've got to do. Church, can I encourage you this morning that God has direction and instruction for you as an individual and for your family? And sometimes we hear these instructions, or sometimes we hear people talk about instructions, and it seems like an impossible thing. Can I encourage you again this morning from the story of Noah and the ark? That building an ark might have seemed like an impossible instruction to follow. No machinery, very few people to help do it. This giant boat that's the size of a footy oval and more than four stories high, at least four stories high. That's a huge instruction to follow. there's actually some pockets of scientists that actually dispute whether it was humanly possible to build an ark with that limited resource, whether it would have been able to withstand the flood, and whether or not it was possible to fit every species in the ark. They say, is it humanly possible? But I'll encourage you this morning, church, that thank God our truth is not based on what is humanly possible, but the mighty God we serve and the truth of his word. Jeremiah 32:17. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. In Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Be encouraged, church. If he gives you the instruction, he will give you the grace and the ability to see it through. So Noah led his family well by hearing and trusting God's word. He also heard and followed God's instruction. Thirdly, Noah led his family well because he cultivated a heart of worship and thanksgiving. Now, at the end of the story when Noah comes out of the ark, I've often wondered, what would my response be if I had just spent over a year on a boat, facing a flood, facing rain, being cooped up with your family for all that time, being cooped up with all the animals for all that time? What would actually be my response? What would be my heart? This was Noah's response. In Genesis 8, verse 18 to 20, so Noah, his wife, and his sons, and their wives left the boat. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Now this is the verse that's so good. Verse 20. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every ceremonially clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. See, Noah's response was so different to what mine probably would have been. He built an altar to God and offered burnt offerings. This speaks of worship. This speaks of thanksgiving. That Noah cultivated a heart of worship and thanksgiving. That he'd been through what seems like a challenging situation that I can't comprehend going through. And yet he came out and he built an altar to the Lord. Worship and thanksgiving to the Lord. And I was really challenged by this, that a heart of worship needs to be cultivated not based on our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, but from our spirit. See, because if we decide to worship based on whether we feel like we should or whether we think we should, we may not always really desire to give worship and thanks. Cultivating a heart of worship requires time. It requires effort. Like Pastor Nay spoke about in the giving, that giving is an act of worship. It shouldn't be based on whether we feel like it or think we should, but it comes of a heart that wants to honor the mighty God that we serve. And this is something that I personally have had to grow in. Even this last week, I was challenged in this area. On Friday night last week, we met together as leadership in preparation for Vision Sunday. And I just had a rough week at work. And to be honest, the last thing I wanted to do was to come along and have a night where we worship and praise God. I really just want to sit on the couch at home. But I remember coming here and there was that feeling inside, and I'm sure everyone knows this feeling where you're kind of like that wrestle within you. I don't know whether I want to worship. I don't know if I can. I don't really feel like it, Lord. But I really had to take captive of those thoughts and really lay them down and say, God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me in this moment to operate from my spirit, to cultivate that heart of worship, because you are worthy of my all. And you know, as I just said, Lord, here I am. And as I said, let your peace fill me. Like Pastor Phil said, the peace that garrisons your heart. I was just blown away by his love. And I was reminded of that song that turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I just remember going, like my whole week, everything that's built up from work is still there. It didn't magically disappear. It wasn't like I'd had amnesia and forgotten all about it. But all of a sudden it was like, do you know what, Lord, it doesn't matter because you are so worthy of my all. I want to cultivate that heart of worship. I want to cultivate the heart of thanksgiving that says, you are so worthy. You know, David was someone who showed a heart of worship. King David is someone who I love in the Bible because he was so real with God, but that didn't stop him from showing that heart of worship. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. And then it says, Selah, it takes a pause. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head. In Psalm 13, David is again real with God. He goes on about, how long have I got to go through this? How long do I have to face all this? Does it sound like us sometimes that we go through challenges and we go, how long do I have to face this, God? But David's response in verse 5 and 6, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were beaten and put in prison. But in verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Seriously, these guys worship goals. Beaten and put in prison, and they're worshiping and singing hymns to God. This is something I desire to grow in. Church, let's you and I go on this journey of cultivating our heart of worship. That despite what might be happening around us, that you might, like I said, it doesn't go away. It's not that the things diminish just because they disappear magically, just because we've cultivated a heart of worship. But we fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who will always make a way, regardless of what we're going through. And we can face any obstacle, we can face anything as we start to cultivate that heart of worship that adores him. Church, as I come to a close this morning, my prayer for you and I is that, like Noah, we would lead ourselves first and our families well. That we would be people that hear and trust God's word to us. That we would be people that hear and then follow the instruction that God has for us. And that we would be people who cultivate a heart of worship and thanksgiving. Whatever we may be facing, whatever we have faced, he is worthy of our everything. He is worthy of all our praise. And let me end with an excerpt that I was reading from the book, The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch woman who helped hide Jews and helped rescue them from the Nazis in World War II. She and her family were eventually caught, and her sister Betsy and her were sent to Ravensbrück, which is a women's labor camp. This excerpt is actually taken from their time in Ravensbrück, from the chapter that's actually called Ravensbrück. Fleas, I cried, Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Here and here, another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us how. It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize that Betsy was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. Corrie, she said excitedly, he has given us the answer before we asked, as he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? What did we read? Read that part again. I glanced down the long dim aisle to make sure no guidance was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians. I said, oh yes, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corrie, Betsy said. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. And what a powerful story that is. Betsy later died in that concentration camp. She didn't make it out, but what a powerful story of her heart to give thanks in all circumstances. A heart that goes, do you know what? We might be in a horrible situation here, but I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances. And later on in that chapter, it talks about how they started holding secret worship services within their barracks. That they led so many women to the Lord who came into that camp not knowing the mighty God that we serve, but through their courage, through their heart to give thanks in all circumstances, men and women were drawn to the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And that's the encouraging church thing for us this morning, church. That see, when we lead well, when we lead ourselves well, it doesn't just impact us. It impacts the people around us. It impacts the community out there that needs to know the love of Jesus. that like Corrie ten Boom and Betsy, her sister, gave thanks in all circumstances. I love how Betsy said that he's already given us the answer, that she heard the word of the Lord and she trusted the word of the Lord and she followed it. She applied it to her life. And through that, breakthrough came for the people around them. What a mighty God we serve. So church, let's be people who lead well, lead ourselves well, and lead our families well. Amen.
You know, I love how Renu talked about Noah and how he walked habitually with God. That means every day he walked with God. But when you walk with God, you hear from God. You see what God wants to show you because he has made your heart his home. And whether you're watching online this morning or whether you're in this room right now, for some of us here, you might not have Jesus in your heart, but let me tell you, he's walking with you. You might not hear him, you might not see him, but God is walking with you. But he wants to take it one step further where you can hear him, where you can see him. Because when you hear from God, when you see him, a heart full of thanksgiving rises up and you can praise him no matter the situation that you're going through. It's not inconsequential what we're going through or how we walk in life, but God wants to walk through you in the challenge. God wants to walk through you with your family. He wants to make your heart his home. And so he did this through Jesus Christ, his son. He sent Jesus Christ to earth to die on a cross for you. And 3 days later, he rose again that you could have eternal life. You see, when he died on that cross, he took our sin, he took our burdens, he took our challenge, he took anxiety so you could walk in freedom. And that's what God wants for your life through his son, Jesus, making your heart his home that you may walk in freedom, hearing his voice, free to hear, free to see the love of a Savior that loves you so much. And as we close our eyes this morning and we bow our heads, we're going to say an incredible prayer if you want to ask Jesus into your heart today. You know, I love what it says in Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we're going to open up our hearts right now that you can say this prayer after me. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, he can make your heart his home today just by you believing in your heart and declaring that your mouth says that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Why don't you say this prayer after me if you've never prayed it before? And us as a church are going to pray along with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite you into our hearts today that you can make your home in our hearts, that we can hear you, that we can see you. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Father, that we will be no longer separated from you, but free to worship you. In Jesus' name.